Hi, this is Omar Solomon, co-founder and CEO of College Hunks Hauling Junk, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hi there, this is Deb Evans coming to you from Houston, Texas, the Deb Evans Consulting and Social Geek Radio Studio.
And Jack Munson coming to you live from the Minolto Inc. Chicago office. How you doing today, Deb?
Doing very well. Playing around with social technology and different social channels and platforms, and I have a geek it out for you, Mr. Munson.
Yeah, you're talking about LinkedIn today, right?
I do. You know, LinkedIn is...
Tell me more. It's my favorite.
Tell you more. I mean, Twitter, Facebook, you know, all of those are a lot of fun, but we should all be paying attention to our LinkedIn profiles. And the more I work with professionals, I find that they forget about it. So one of the cool features that LinkedIn introduced, you know, some time ago was the published post. And I want to remind everybody, you know, you blog, you tweet, but don't forget about the published post. What I like what LinkedIn has done recently with published posts is you used to be able to only embed an embed code. You know, if you did a YouTube or an Animoto, you had to collect the code and then you could put it and embed it into your LinkedIn published post. Well, now you can add rich media, so all you need is a link. And what I'm seeing some folks doing in their published post is they're putting links to a tweet. You know, a tweet that they've put out that has some a video embedded or an article, things like that. So LinkedIn's expanding a little bit, and they're expanding on those published posts. And you and I both love to publish posts, and we see it go on Pulse, and we know that the LinkedIn published posts are searchable. You do not have to be connected to the writer or the LinkedIn profile in order to find them. So I encourage everybody to go and check out those published posts and then do a little bit more with them. So
yeah, that's great news. I didn't know that about the rich media. I've been doing a lot of published posts lately, and a couple of things I'll throw in. First, make sure you know the difference between an update and a published post. I've been seeing people using the published post where they're really just sharing a link to some article from, you know, Entrepreneur Magazine or Inc. or something like that. That's great for an update, and I do that all the time. Deb, I know you do as well. But for anyone who's actually creating original content, whether it's a blog post or maybe even sharing content from your blog post or putting up a video or something like that, use the published post area, because it really can get out and get in front of a lot of other people. The other new thing that they're doing with this that I noticed last week, if you do get picked up by what they call the Pulse, which is sort of their front page news aggregation, if you get picked up in one of the Pulse categories, finally, now they're sending you a notification from LinkedIn. It will show up in your alerts saying your published post is now appearing on the Pulse in whichever categories. I've had some show up in like marketing and advertising.
Right.
I had one show up in politics a couple of weeks ago, which was interesting because I was talking about using Facebook for and around the upcoming.
Oh, right.
And I had tagged it as being political, and it got picked up in the politics Pulse section too. So if you do get picked up in the Pulse, you will now know it. Before they announced it, the only way you could know that you got picked up in the Pulse is if you would start getting likes and views from a bunch of third-party connections that never would have seen your post, right? So you would see all of these people from Russia or, you know, some other part of the world that you have absolutely no connection to would suddenly be liking your post, which was kind of cool. But great new stuff happening there with the published posts on LinkedIn. And I didn't know that about the rich media. So that's very cool. I think someday this could be the place where we all blog, right? And sort of abandon the old ways. So So very good, Deb. Let's jump over to our guest who's waiting in the green room, and we'd like to welcome to Social Geek Radio from web.com, Jillian Green. How you doing, Jillian?
I'm great, Jack. Thank you to you and Deb for having me on. This is very exciting.
Well, we're very glad to have you today, and we want to learn a lot more about web.com. It's a company that it seems like everybody knows about web.com, but from what I've learned, there's so much more happening there than what we sort of know about on the surface level, and we'd love to hear more about web.com. But first, tell us about your role within the company.
Sure. So I'm focused on business development in the franchise and multi-space. Over the past few years, I've managed some of our larger national accounts. Now my focus has shifted to align myself with emerging brands, as well as some of the older brands that are out there and that need to have their programs evolved to align with the opportunities available in 2016. I'm also pleased to be completing my CFE this year, finally. So that's exciting.
Congratulations. That's great.
Yes. So really, I'm focused in, you know, helping franchise multi-units grow through web.com. You know, we have a whole breadth of services available that probably not a lot of people know everything that we can do and what we do.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, obviously, if I need a website, that's sort of a go-to place that I could say, great, now I need, you know, socialgeek.com. I need a website, right? So let's go to web.com. Mm-hmm. But tell us about some of the other things that businesses are looking for right now that you guys can help them with.
Sure. So first, let me just say, you know, web.com was founded in 1997. And over the years, we've grown organically as well as through acquisitions. So over the years, we acquired Leads.com, Network Solutions, Register.com. And in 2005, we had approximately 50,000 customers. And today, we're supporting single locations to large multi-location enterprises equaling over 3 million customers.
Wow.
And so we have a lot of different types of people coming to us and asking for different things. We like to say that we can meet our clients anywhere along their business life cycle, and we have affordable subscription-based solutions. So from that person who says, okay, I wake up in the middle of the night, they buy a domain because they had a great business idea, to the person who says, okay, I need a website. We have a full DIY product series, and then we have a full do-it-for-me series. And we also, you know, we're a Google Premier SMB partner, so we do a lot of online marketing for folks. We might have people that have websites elsewhere that are looking for a Google Premier partner to do pay-per-click marketing for them. Maybe they need search engine optimization. Social's really big. We have been working with Facebook for years and continue to adjust our product to meet the needs of the small business owner.
And as far as all of the work that you've been doing in sort of the multi-space and franchising, are there still companies that have just one website for, you know, 500 or 1,000 franchisees or locations, but they're still sort of in that mindset of just having, you know, one page and one website for everybody? Or is that sort of finally gone away?
Sadly, it's still out there. it's still out there. You know, we run across it quite a bit. That's why when we talk to some of these older franchise brands that might have that structure where, you know, it's a very generic page for that location, you know, really talking to them about how search has evolved and how local and user experience, and there's so many other factors that come into play now, and being able to talk to them about that website experience and the structure, that's one thing that we can bring to the table. We can definitely help a brand put together the structure how they want, but you know, we really like the idea of localizing it for their franchisees uniquely.
And is that something that people have been doing for a while, or is the whole localization something that really has only been happening for the past year or so?
Actually, there's quite a few brands that we've worked with that, you know, it's kind of like baby steps. They knew that their franchisees wanted their own website. They wanted something that would be unique for them and give them a way to set themselves apart in the marketplace, you know, have a top-level domain that they can use on their business cards that, you know, wasn't this whole long string or sub-page URL. But what we found is a lot of brands might have been, you know, a little hesitant about how much control they give that local franchisee. And depending on what type of website platform they're on, there might be some limitations on what you can and cannot do. What we have found, though, is being able to go and work with the franchisor and listen to their franchisee's needs, present to them some different ways that they can, you know, improve the local experience, enhance how they're serving their franchise network and giving them a way to tell their local story or make sure that, you know, the franchisee is really utilizing the website that's best going to suit them and their business needs.
Very cool. Any big plans or projects for web.com coming up that you can tell us about so far for this year?
A couple exciting things. So one thing we often say at web.com is that a small business is very much like a big business. They have common needs for their online marketing. Most of the time we know a small business owner doesn't have the resources. Often they lack the time or the knowledge to do it themselves. They don't necessarily have the ability to hire additional staff. So we have a full range of do-it-for-me solutions now. So a little bit different than the DIY and a little bit different than we do it completely for you. We find that there's a large group of people who still want the DIY solution, yet they're struggling to actually get it done. And so we launched a coaching program. It was piloted and warmly received. So now we have a whole coach program where for that DIY customer, they can actually have a coach that'll do it for them, or I'm sorry, do it with them. And they get coaching online or via the phone. And so it's somebody helping them, you know, walk through the steps of building out that DIY website and
get it done. That's interesting. That's very cool.
Yeah. Ideally, I mean, we would have liked to see that DIY customer move to the do it for me, mm-hmm. but there's still a large percentage that are, you know, no, I want to do it myself. Mm-hmm. So by launching the coaching program, we're helping those business owners succeed online.
That's an interesting idea. It's kind of between them doing it themselves and then having somebody doing it totally for them. I like that idea, that concept of the coaching, right? Because it may not be a permanent thing. You know, you could invest in some people and help them and get them going and showing them the right way. And hey, you know, 2 years from now, they may be a local marketing genius, right? They might be an expert in that area, but right now they definitely need some help getting off the ground.
Right.
I see that too with a lot of the brands I work with in social media as well, where I think for many years we've had this idea of franchisees can just, you know, go in and do it themselves and run their marketing on a local level the same way they run their business. But to me, it seems like they really do need some level of help, right? Because they're not spending all day thinking about marketing plans like maybe the three of us are. You know, they're running their business and making pizzas and making frozen yogurt and hiring staff and taking care of all of the things that a small business owner has to take care of. And unfortunately, a lot of these marketing activities, if they don't have some help, a lot of these marketing activities just never happen, right?
Right, right. What we find is in our franchise and multi-unit space, we support those franchisees a little bit differently. Of course, it depends on the structure that we put together with the franchisor. But most oftentimes, the franchisee has a dedicated account manager or a dedicated account management team that they can call into. And we have a few different platforms internally, pardon me, that we use to support our franchise network. Mm-hmm. And so depending on the platform and depending on the level of permissions that that franchisee can go in and do, we have complete training. Oftentimes when they're logging into the back end of their admin, there's videos that'll show them how to do stuff, tutorials. They have customer support teams that they can reach out to. And so it's a very hands-on type of program as well, because we don't want them to log in and feel like, oh, this is too overwhelming. You know, if I can go and teach, you know, some older franchisees that, you know, weren't even using most of the functions on their cell phone to log into their computer and log into their admin section of their website and go in and optimize it and you know, get the information in there that they want. It's a very rewarding experience, and it's great for them. It's just another testament of why, you know, we want to work with franchises and co-ops. You know, we want it to be a different experience and of support.
Right. Very good. This is Social Geek Radio, and today's guest is Jillian Green of Web.com. Jillian, you guys are really on the front lines of online marketing and what's happening with website marketing and so forth. What kinds of trends do you see happening over the year 2016? What's really going to be the story this coming year?
You know, it feels like everybody's talking about Facebook video.
Yeah.
And although there are some aspects that sound exciting, I'm still very attracted to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And your audience, I think, is most likely already familiar and comfortable with using YouTube. It's still an effective way to draw attention to your brand. About 6 months ago, there was a study done that showed 55% of Google searches returned video results, and 82% of those came from YouTube. Now, I imagine we're going to see a shift in from that 82% to some of the other front runners that are coming into play. But I think overall, you know, depending on who your audience is, YouTube is very easy for people to consume. It's very familiar. You know, using Snapchat, I think, is going to be a learning curve for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, you know, some people might not be going onto Facebook and consuming that content in a way. So I think it's important to know who your audience is and see where they're consuming your video and ensure you're not missing an important channel.
And I think the message there too is let's not abandon something that obviously is working. If 82% of the video content that people are finding in a search is still coming from YouTube, even if that number takes a little bit of a dip this year, it's still massive, right? You know, maybe by the end of the year it'll be down to 79%, right? So, you know, I think it's still that idea of try new things, but don't abandon what seems to really be working.
Right. Right.
Well, and even like, you know, Periscope, where it's live streaming and video, you find so many of those Periscope videos, people are uploading them to YouTube. So at least they're merging the two platforms together and taking, and not forgetting that YouTube has such a presence.
Right, right. Go ahead. I was also going to say user experience is something that I find is going to be really important as we go into 2016. There's quite a few new website designs that are using hidden navigation drawer. It's very clean look. However, it forces the user to open up the navigation menu, and that might not be ideal, and it might be cumbersome for some users.
So tell us a little bit more about that. So people are hiding the navigation just to have a cooler look to the site. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, and you know, it makes it so if the person gets to your site, depending on how they got there, they may or may not be seeing what they want, and so they would have to open up the navigation in order to navigate to where they want, or to discover what they might want. They might not necessarily know. So I think the design aspect is very nice. It's kind of a fashion trend right now, but I would suggest to anybody trying to, you know, hide their navigation to really test and monitor the site analytics to make sure that you're not driving up your bounce rate, to make sure you're not losing potential customers.
Great advice. Excellent.
Good point. Yeah.
Any other pieces of advice that you would give any marketing leaders or franchise company marketing folks? Any big piece of advice that you would like to tell them? Hey, take a look at this right now. This is something that really needs to be on your to-do list.
No, I think, you know, there's a lot of older brands out there right now that have older marketing programs or solutions in place for their network. And so I would suggest that they really look at what they have in place today. You know, is it a required program? Is it an optional program? Or maybe they don't have anything and they just let their franchisees do whatever. But there's so many things that have happened in 2015 and 2016 related to online and how things have shifted. You know, we're seeing people use custom audiences and really use internal data in new ways and drive experience as well as ROI in a much meaningful way. Mm-hmm. So if you're not leveraging some of those aspects or you have some older aspects to your marketing program, really, you know, evaluating that and updating it. And then for the franchisor who might not necessarily have something in place, making sure you have a preferred partner that you can refer to. I think a lot of franchisees spend a lot of time trying to figure out who they can work with, who they can trust. And if the franchisor has, you know, done the legwork and vetted these people out and know that it's a partnership where they're going to have their franchisees supported as well as corporate level reporting that'll help them, you know, continue their brand strategy. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Excellent. Very good. And then finally today, if anybody has additional questions for you or would like to pick your brain a little bit more on, you know, some of the things that we talked about today, like having your navigation hidden and, you know, really taking a deep dive into the analytics of a program like that, what's a good way for somebody to reach out and chat with you?
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm on LinkedIn, Jillian Green, and then jgreen@web.com is an email address that you can reach me. And I actually re-engaged with Twitter about a year or so ago when you were doing a tweet off, Jack. So I'm Jillian J. Green on Twitter.
That's where you can find Jillian, and that's where you can find us as well at all times. So, Jillian, thanks so much for joining us today. We look forward to catching up with you at the upcoming IFA convention, and congratulations on your CFE this year.
Yeah, we'll be there cheering you. Very good.
Wonderful.
Right on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.